pressed all life from him. The grip loosened. Walter Yang slid down his assailant's body, collapsing into a limp heap, lifeless, blood from his nose and mouth dripping onto the white carpet, leaving a stain the color of cardinals. Where is it? Under there. The diamond was scooped up and the attacker left the house, climbed into a Mercedes S-400 hybrid vehicle, and rolled silently away. Yang's guest left too, walking slowly, quietly through the open back door and out to the dimly lighted mews that ran behind the elegant townhouse in Belgravia, disappearing into the soft fog of the night. Chapter 1.
Did you hear about the big diamond robbery in London?
The question was asked by Manoram Chatterjee as we shared a table in Mara's dockside luncheonette. Manoram and his wife, Hita, had recently moved to Cabot Cove from Detroit, where they'd owned and operated a successful jewelry store. A cousin who'd settled in Cabot Cove a few years earlier had persuaded them to experience the joys of small-town living. They'd sold their Detroit shop and opened one here, joining a small but growing Indian community. I certainly did, I said. You couldn't miss it. It was on all the TV newscasts and the front pages of the Boston Globe and New York Times. Manoram leaned forward.
That diamond was originally from my country. It is called the Heart of India. Only the most valuable stones are given a special name. This one was from the Kolur mine in the Golconda region. Many famous diamonds came from this mine.
So you knew about this one before it was stolen? He nodded.
I even saw it once, he said. In all the years that my family has been in the jewelry business, we'd never before seen a blue diamond of that color, quality, and size. It's extremely rare.
7 carats, I said.
Slightly more, he said.
I read that it's worth $10 million, I said.
Yes, that was what it was appraised at before it disappeared.
According to media reports, the heart-shaped diamond had been stolen from the home of a wealthy London businessman. Unfortunately, he lost more than his precious gem. He also lost his life during the theft. The Globe article reported that not only was Scotland Yard involved in the investigation, but Interpol had also been brought into the picture because it was suspected that the robbers, now also murderers, might be part of a network of globe-trotting jewel thieves that had been operating over the past 6 years with seeming abandon. And the Times story ended by pointing out that authorities had long suspected the slain businessman, Walter Sun Yang, of using a portion of his wealth to fund terrorist organizations around the world, although that charge had never been verified.
Might make a nice ring, Manoram, Mara said, holding up her coffee pot as Dr. Seth Hazlitt pulled out a chair and joined us.
Decaf for me, please, Seth said.
Manoram cocked his head and smiled wryly.
It would be quite a beautiful ring, Mara, he said, but this gem carries a curse. It is said its owners will have great happiness or great misery, but you will not learn which until it is in your possession.
Like the Hope Diamond, Seth put in.
That one was said to curse its owners, too.
Exactly, Manoram said, and for good reason. The Heart of India was cut from the same stone as the Hope Diamond.
You mean there was an even bigger diamond?
Yes, yes. When it was stolen from the mine in the 17th century, it was more than 112 carats. A French trader, Jean-Baptiste Tavernier, was believed to have taken it, and it was known for many years as the Tavernier Blue.
Why was it cut down? I asked.
Manoram shrugged. Tavernier had sold it to the King of France, and it was part of the crown jewels. But it disappeared during the French Revolution.